Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
We took a little extra time for worship, and so I'll make sure I keep note of that. But we're in our third message in the series, Multiplied from Just Enough to More Than Enough. And we're finally to Matthew 14, which is where we'll jump into tonight. While you're turning to Matthew 14, I was going to wait till Sunday, but I'll mention it again on Sunday. A big congratulations to Mandy's and my son, Tyler, and his engagement to Miss Alyssa Wan happened on Valentine's Day night right here in this room on this platform, which I thought was a different kind of engagement. But I think it's a great thing because when you can put church in and include church whenever you can, it's a good thing. And so we love them. We're excited for them. And I can't believe I'm old enough to have engaged kids. And so congratulations to them. Many, many years of blessing. And it's so good to have Louie and Josie, her parents, with us more and more often all the time. We love you guys. We appreciate you very, very much. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. This is the feeding of the 5,000. And they did all eat. Everybody ate. I told a friend of mine the other day, the older I get, the more I want to see everybody eat. Not just me. I want everybody to eat. Now, I can't feed everybody, but I can have God produce enough for everybody to eat that wants to eat. And they did all eat and were filled. They were full and took up the fragments that remained 12 basketfuls. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Talking in our third series on Multiplied from Just Enough. Jesus moves us from just enough to more than enough. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm on a journey to more than enough. Somebody just shout, multiply in Jesus' name. Isn't it amazing how you just shouted? I love that. You should wake up in the morning, scare everybody in your house, just saying, multiply in Jesus' name. Some of you that have crazy faith, you ought to get your checkbook out tonight. You ought to get your purse out tonight. You ought to just say, multiply in Jesus' name. You ought to speak to your peace, your faith, your joy. Multiply. I want more. I want more. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Get your hopes up, Living Way. We're 6 weeks into 52. I hope it's been good. If it hasn't, keep your hopes up, but get them up first. Then keep those hopes up. I hope that the last 2 weeks have helped to take the limitations off of your expectation, reminding you that Jesus is never at a loss for words, never at a loss for miracles. James 4:2 puts it on us and says, you have not because you ask not. Last week we talked all the way back into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. The first thing Jesus says to creation, to man, is be fruitful and multiply. From the beginning of time, we are called to be fruitful, to multiply. The other three things that he tells us is to replenish, to subdue, to have dominion over the earth and world that we live in. To have dominion, you have to have the spirit of multiplication that only comes through Jesus Christ on you and in you, but you also have to be able to limit the adversary that loves to divide and subtract. So on one hand, I am loosing the power of Jesus that multiplies, but on the other hand, I am binding the spirit of the adversary that loves to take away, subtract, and bring divisive or division, bring divisive things into our life. Let's jump into Matthew chapter 14. After 2 weeks, we are finally here to the main text and the main event. Jesus, in this story, we pick it up in verse 13 of Matthew 14. But to give this context, Jesus is doing his best. Listen to what I'm about to say. To have a private moment. This is Jesus after he's just heard that his first cousin, John the Baptist, has not only died but has had a gruesome death at the hands of the very family that was trying to kill him 30 years previous. Herod has cut off John's head. John's head has been brought out on a silver charger, a silver platter, to Salome, his wife's birthday party. And he was called out by his stepdaughter. And he said, you can have anything you want up to half of my kingdom. And
What she asked for was Jesus' cousin's head. The very preceding verse before 13, the Bible says that the disciples came and told Jesus, John is dead. We've taken his body headless and we have buried him. The Bible says that Jesus heard it. Jesus removes himself to go to a private place to grieve. But thousands of people find out where he's going and follows him. There's a lot to be said that the physical man that Jesus was wanted to get away. But the God that Jesus was said, I won't turn them away. And I'll meet every need that they have as long as they're in my presence. I love the fact that I serve a God that does not put me at the back of the line. I love a God that no matter what's going on around the world, whenever I call out to him, he answers. Whenever I worship him, he shows up. And on a Wednesday night, I want to encourage you with this. There's almost 8 billion people on the face of this earth tonight. And your problem and your situation is important to God. God sees you. God hears you. And just like we sang, if you've got faith, God is working behind the scenes to make sure that you have everything that you need. The very first thing that happens when he hears of his cousin's death. The Bible says in the King James Version, Jesus heard of it and he departed thence by ship. What did Jesus hear? He heard about the death of his cousin. Now remember, this is the Jesus that would go on to bring back to life from the dead the widow of Nain's son. This is the Jesus that while he was going to Jairus' house, he stopped to heal a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And that little moment that he stopped, that Jairus' daughter died. And literally people came from Jairus' house and said, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter's already dead. But Jesus said, nope, I'm coming to your house. And when I get there, the dead is going to live again. This is the Jesus that when his best friend Lazarus died, the funeral's over, the wake's over, the interment is over. 4 days after he died, Jesus shows up, tells them to roll the stone away, and brings a dead Lazarus back to life. So here's the question, church. Why did he not bring John back to life when he's a resurrecting Jesus? Because wisdom decides what needs to be resurrected and what needs to stay dead. I know that's heavy on a Wednesday night. I know we're going to shout in just a little bit, but can I encourage you in 2022 to use wisdom and discernment? And the things that die that need to stay dead, let them stay dead. The things that need to be resurrected, lean into Jesus and say, Jesus, if that thing needs to be come back to life, then God, all my faith is in your will, God. Let your will be done and bring that thing back to life. But if I could encourage you, church, in the room and online today, don't allow misguided but well-meaning people to talk you into praying for a resurrection that does not need to happen. Can I encourage you to not fall in love with what used to be? And if it dies, you can't move forward, because some things died in 2021 that need to stay dead. But there's some things that died in 2021, God says, don't give up on it yet. There's still life. I know it doesn't look like it. I know it doesn't sound like it. I know that it's been 4 days, but there is a future for that thing that has been dead. But Jesus, in this moment, wisdom says, let John stay dead. You say, what does this have to do with multiplication? I'm going there. John said in chapter 3, verse 30 of the Gospel of John, I must decrease. Listen to this. So that he may increase. Going back to last week, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, when he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful and multiply means to increase. Meaning this, unless we die, he can never multiply. And you say, a physical death? No, I'm talking about crucifying flesh.
I'm talking about dying to self. I'm talking about I want to go this way, but God wants me over here. I want to date him, but God said no. I want a relationship with her, but God said wait. I want to go to Dallas. I want to go to California. I want to go to Florida, but God said stay here. It's crucifying our flesh. Why? Because there's some things that your flesh wants to do that is going to rob you from the multiplying hand of God. But we have to be like John and say, hey, there's one greater than me that's coming onto the scene. But if I expect him to multiply in my life, who I am as flesh has to die. At this point, the disciples do not know that Jesus contains resurrection power, because the widow of Nain's son has not yet been brought back to life. Jairus' daughter has not been born yet. And Lazarus has not been to the grave yet. And so they don't know that, but Jesus does. In that moment, Jesus, a headless, you talk about a miracle now. You bring a headless John the Baptist back to life. And the book of Ezekiel takes another turn, and we see a hedge is rolling along to find his body. You talk about a miracle. No, the greatest miracle is that he stayed dead. Why? Because if he did not stay dead, then he would have stayed at the level he was, and Christ would have stayed at the level he was. But the moment that John died, Jesus said, now I can increase, I can raise, I can multiply where I need to be. I want to encourage you, let those bad things from your past, let them die. Leave them alone. Quit trying to resurrect them. Quit trying to breathe new life into them. Wisdom decides what needs to be resurrected and what needs to stay dead. So something has been taken out of Jesus' life. I love this. Multiplication never worries about subtraction. The devil cannot take it away from you fast enough. We're talking about subtraction. That's just taking one at a time, three at a time, 10 at a time. His subtraction never matches the multiplication of Jesus. That means go ahead, devil, take all you want. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, when a thief is found out, whatever he took from you, sevenfold is coming back to you. Everything you take, God is multiplying. Everything you rob from me, God is multiplying. I want to encourage you, when you lose something in your life, you ought to confuse the devil and say, God, I know you're up to something good. And I know I lost it in January, but it's coming back in February. I lost it in 2021, but it's coming back in 2022. You can be multiplied through subtraction. I've been talking a lot in the last two years to leaders in this church. Not to just leaders, but mentoring people, that there is such thing as addition by subtraction. That your value can grow when things begin to be subtracted. You can go from 10 relationships to 3 relationships and friends, and you can have so much more healthy relationship. You can grow as a person by letting a lot of things go, but God begins to multiply. God can multiply through subtraction. The Bible says in verse 13 that when Jesus heard about it, he departed to a desert place. I've been to some deserts. But I've never been out of my car. I stay in the AC, and I keep driving. Any of y'all ever drive from here to El Paso? Ugh, worst drive in America. Southwest, you can get a flight for like $120. Do it. Do it. It's worth it. But that desert, they didn't have cars. It's a hot place. It's a place with no water. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I don't have to worry about the water when I'm with the living water. The only time you'll find me in the desert is when I'm with Jesus. The only time you'll find me in the valley is when I'm with Jesus. Why? Because what the valley lacks, I'm with the multiplying God named Jesus. What the desert lacks, I'm with the multiplying God named Jesus. Jesus departed to a desert place. Multiplication happens when we are made uncomfortable. The most uncomfortable places of your life is where God does the best things. So are you willing to be made uncomfortable for the next few weeks, few months, for the rest of this year, if God says, hey, you're this close to a multiplication, to an exponential increase in your life, and if you will be, there are some of us that are so addicted to people, we would rather be with the wrong people than alone.
But God says, if you can go through a season of being alone by people, you'll always have Jesus. But if you can go through the season of being, I remember when I got for real saved. You say, what does that mean? I grew up in this church, in this ministry, 40 years I've been here. I got kind of saved at Sunday school. I got really saved July 17, 1999. I remember coming home and walking for 7 or 8 months with just my brother and my cousin. That's the only people I roll with. And my cousin was 6 years older than me, and my brother was 4 years older than me. They're 22 and 24, and they didn't really want me around, but I just wanted to be around them. And so I chose to walk with them because I needed to get away from some people. Can I encourage somebody today? The wrong person in your life can keep the multiplying hand of God from being able to do what it is supposed to do. If I could take us all the way back to Genesis 12, Abraham, God has blessed him great. He has promised him great blessing, great multiplication. But the moment Abraham hooked himself up with his nephew Lot, God quit speaking and the blessing quit flowing. And they began to fight. And what they began to fight was that was the uncomfortable things that they had to go through. But the moment that Lot left Abraham and Abraham left Lot, God's voice began to ring clear again. And God's promise began not only to be spoken, but began to happen. Multiplication happens when we are made uncomfortable. He said he went to a desert place. Multiplication happens when we are put in a place where we must fully depend on the presence of Jesus Christ. If you don't have dreams, vision, and a tomorrow that needs Jesus, you are not thinking big enough. You are not faithing big enough. You are not attempting big enough things. Every day I wake up, I'm saying, Jesus, I need you to stay married. I need you to help me be a father. I need you to help me drive. I need you to help me keep my money. I need you to help me keep my sanity. I need you to help me keep my focus. You say you're a pastor. You should, oh no, I'm a person is what I am. And I got to lean on Jesus to multiply his peace, his focus, his strength, my faith, all of those things. I fully depend on Jesus Christ. I listened back to one of our Sunday messages a few days ago, and I got back to that part, and it even sounded funny for me to hear what I said. But when I said I'm not faithful to Mandy. I don't put my faith. I'm faithful to her, but I don't put my faith in her. It sounded weird for me to say that. But at the end of the day, she can't help me. You know how I know that's true? Because there are a lot of spouses that wish they could change their spouse, and they can't do it, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not faithful. I am faithful to her. My faith is not in her. My faith is in Christ. My faithfulness to him now reflects I'm faithful to a church. I'm faithful to one woman, my wife. I'm faithful to my children. I am faithful to my community. I'm faithful to myself, all because I put faith in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you that until you are doing things that cause you to totally lean into Jesus, it's not a faith walk and you're not living a multiplied life. Verse 13 goes on to say that not only did he depart into a ship, he said to go to a desert place apart. Here that word is apart. There has to be a separation. He departed to a desert place apart. Before you ask God to multiply, make sure you are apart from or have removed divisive people. You know what division is? It's multiplication the other way. So you can have a multiplying Jesus working for you, working in you, working around you. But if you've got divisive people and the spirit of division and the spirit of gossip is divisive. Defamation is divisive. If you have that divisive spirit in you, around you, or you have hooked your wagon to friends and relationships where people create division and create drama and all those things, now it's no longer the enemy is subtracting it, and God can make up for his subtracting, multiplying. As quick as God does it for you, the enemy's taking it from you. And you know what's worse than never having it? Having it and having it taken away. My whole prayer is, God, bless me in such a way, but Lord, let me hold on to what you've given me. Don't let the enemy take it. God, let me sow it. Let me give it, but I don't want the enemy's hands in my life. That's why tithing, we talk about rebuking the devourer. It's great that God opens the windows and pours us out a blessing, but I love when the Bible says tithing rebukes the devourer, the divisive one, the division one, the divisionist hand from my life. When the people had heard thereof, thousands of people now hear Jesus. Remember, he has separated himself. They followed him on foot out of the city. Some people can't drive to church on Sunday. They left the city to go out into the desert. What Jesus was saying and doing caused people to follow him out into the desert without properly preparing for their journey. You say, that's on them. No, no, no. What you see as a lack of preparation in this sense, I see faith. Well, don't you think we should pack a snack? Well, he's the bread of life. Don't you think we should pack some Kool-Aid? Nope, he's the living water. Don't you think? Nope, everything I need is found in Jesus. Jesus started walking off. People forgot about their jobs. They're just following Jesus. You see, Jesus went over that hill. Well, I'm following him. Why? Did you just see what he did in this city? Did you just hear that sermon he preached? Man, that man has life. That man is different. I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he is a life-transforming, life-giving God. It doesn't matter what it costs me. What about your job? Oh, I'll get another job. I don't know how long this Jesus is going to be around here, but I'm going to follow him. And they lean in and depended on Jesus. Whatever I need in the desert, he'll provide it. And they followed him into a desert. Here's the question. And I love what we do here. And we love to talk about new levels. God's leading you to better. But what if better looks like a desert at first? What if better looks like a valley at first? Are you willing to go through the valley with Jesus to get to the next mountain? Are you willing to go through the desert seasons to get to the oasis? If Jesus leads you in a desert, it's not to kill you. It's not to leave you. I told a friend in this church a few weeks ago, God didn't bring you this far to leave you this far. I am here to announce to you, if we're going to the desert, I'm going to the desert. And I'm not going to waste time packing. I can't lose sight of Jesus. Where he goes, I go. Where he stops, I stop. Where he turns right, I turn right. All I need is you, Jesus. The phrase that'll change your life. All I need is you, Jesus. All I need is you. Verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. Remember, Jesus has just lost his cousin. Jesus has tried to separate himself from the crowd. The crowd saw and heard him and have now followed and left their city, and they follow Jesus out into the desert. And then when Jesus saw them, he saw some of them were not walking, but they were being carried. They were sick. Some of them were not running to meet him, but they were being dragged on cots at the back of the line. The Bible says that Jesus saw everybody that began, and remember, there's 20,000 people in the middle of nowhere. The AT&T Center could not house the crowd that has now followed Jesus out into the desert. The Bible says he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You know what I love about Jesus here is what we believe at Living Way. He said, I could preach a sermon, but I know the need, and I know how to meet the need. We're not going to sing two songs. I'm not going to give my 3 points. If you're sick, get ready to be made whole. The Bible said he had compassion. It doesn't say he preached. It said he had compassion to them, towards them. And the Bible says he healed their sick. Jesus operated with compassion. And I've got good news, Living Way. Jesus still operates with compassion. He sees you. He sees what you lack, sees what you need, sees what you are going through. But here is where we need to find out the difference between a faux compassion and what we think it is and what true compassion is. True compassion doesn't let people stay like they are. This type of compassion that Jesus has, it transforms people. Compassion, the Bible says in the King James, Jesus was moved with compassion towards people. If you say you have compassion and you are not moving towards the hurt, you don't have compassion. If you say I have the love of Jesus and it doesn't cause you to help your brother or your sister that is in need, nope, you've got sympathy and you might have empathy, but you do not have the compassion that Jesus had, because his compassion caused people to be made whole. It moved Jesus towards them. Compassion always moves us forward and towards the need. Verse 15, just give me a couple more minutes tonight. And when it was evening, Jesus healed people all day long. This right here is one of the accounts at the end of the Gospels that says if everything that Jesus did was recorded in books, the books could not contain it. Here's one of those instances. Because I believe that there's 20,000 people. All of them weren't paralyzed physically. Some of them were paralyzed spiritually, mentally. God was casting out devils. He was laying his hands on the sick. He was speaking life. Blinded eyes are open. I believe thousands of creative miracles happened in the desert place, multiplied because of what Jesus was doing. And the Bible says in verse 15, it was evening. It was dark now. His disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. Thank you for stating the obvious. And the time is now past. Thank you. We know the sun set. We watched it just like you did. This is what the disciples said. Send them away. Get rid of them. They're hungry. Let them go back into town and buy victuals for themselves. Three takeaways for multiplication to happen very quickly. The Bible says, number one, when it was evening. Multiplication happens best in the darkest seasons of your life. Because in the darkest seasons of your life is when you are more focused and Jesus-centric than you are throughout. I want to get to the place where my faith and my focus on Jesus is just as intent in the good times as it is in the bad, in times of surplus and then the times when I need something. I want to encourage you today, if you are in the dark seasons of your life living away, I've got hope for you. I want to tell you to get your hopes up. God will multiply. You can't see him working. It's nighttime, but he is multiplying. When the light flicks on, when the sun rises tomorrow, you're going to see the hand of God that was working when you were sleeping, that was working while we were slumbering. In the nighttime seasons, multiplication happened. It says it was a desert place. That's an unusual place for Jesus to do his miracle. I found out that in the unusual places of my life, where I least expect it, is where God starts moving. Where I least expect, like, God, I know you can do it, but are you sure you're going to do it there, with them, in that way? Jesus wants us to take the expectation that it doesn't just have to happen at church. You say, well, what's an unusual place for me? It's not that the place is unusual. It's unusual that God would choose that place to show up. So you know what's unusual? Tomorrow morning, 9:15, your job. Friday afternoon, locker room, your high school. Come on now. You're in the waiting room at the ER, and you've got outpatient surgery for one of your family members. But there's somebody across the waiting room or their family members needing a bona fide miracle. And God chooses to show up in Samsey's waiting room on a Friday morning instead of a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Unusual places. Let God get out of church. Let Jesus get out of Sundays from 11 to 12:30. Let the Spirit of God flow at times when worship is not happening on guitars and keyboards and singers, in the unusual places, in my barn, in my office, in my truck. God, if you want to move here, multiply right here, right now. it would do so much better for miracles to be done out there than in here. How many of you have somebody that tells you how awesome you are? I hope you do. I've got a few people, and sometimes when I'm feeling down, I just get around them because I know they're going to pump me up. Brother Lacey sitting here tonight, he's one of those guys. If I go say hi to Brother Lacey, Brother Lacey's going to pump me up. For those who don't know who Brother Lacey is, he's right back here. He's a blessing. We text back and forth. He's a retired pastor from the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana. He messages me, and he blesses me, and he always comes at it from this. As a pastor, I know that you go through this. And I remember when, and he encourages me. He's telling me how awesome I am. I love that fact that that happens in here. But can I tell you that the greatest move that God wants to do is not in the church. God wants to showcase what he can do out there. Wherever you are, on your job, in your school, by yourself, wherever you are, God wants to show up. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. The Bible says it was the evening time, dark seasons. It was a desert place, unusual places. Number three, the time was past. I want to encourage somebody tonight that you think your time has passed. And I'm not talking about people that are over the age of a certain age. I'm talking that the enemy has lied to you and said you missed that opportunity in 2020 or 2021, and it's never going to come back around again. I want to tell you, not only is it never going to come back around, it's going to be better. The next time it comes around, it's going to be more impactful. It's going to be more fruitful for your life. You did not miss your opportunity. You might have missed it that day, but there is a bigger opportunity. You say, how can you be so assured of that? You're still breathing. You're still alive today. You're still sitting here. I don't care what you don't have. I'm not to sound naive. I'm not naive. I know that there's real need, but it's not about what you don't have. It's the fact that you're still sitting here today. You had enough faith to come to church on a Wednesday night. You had enough faith to sit here for an hour and 25 minutes to say, God, I know there's a lot of people, but speak to me. Do something in me tonight. It's not past time. I know they want to send me away. I know the people say that I'm too old. I know people say that I missed my spot. I have not missed it, God. You're a multiplying God. Stand on your feet. The disciples said, Jesus, let's send them away to go buy food. I want you to get this in your spirit. When you are in need, not if, when you are in need, leaving the presence of Jesus is never the answer. And it sounds like that's so simple, Pastor. It is. But every year I see dozens of people that when they need Jesus the most, we don't see them for weeks. We don't see them for months. Oh, we need that Jacob spirit that says, God, I am staying right here until I hear from you. I am staying right here until, God, your voice, your power, your hand is at work in my life. Is there a Jacob? Is there somebody in here saying, God, I need your multiplied presence. I need multiplied joy. I need multiplied peace, God. And in my darkest season, in the most unusual place of my life, in a time where other people have said, time has passed me by. In a time where disciples and other believers have said, you need to go do it this way. You said, no, I'm going to stay right where I'm planted. I'm going to hear from God. Jesus is going to do what he said he would do. In this altar, there are some hungry people saying, Jesus, I'm ready for that multiplied. I'm ready for that multiplied anointing. I'm ready for that multiplied. Lord, take anxiety away. How does that happen? Multiplied peace unto you. Take that depression away. How does that happen? Multiplied joy unto you. But Jesus said, there's no need for them to depart. Give them something to eat. That's where we'll pick off next session. But if you're in this room tonight and you're living below, not below us, sir. I'm just talking about you're living in a not enough land. If you're afraid, you need more faith. You need multiplied faith. If your relationships aren't right, you need multiplied love. Not the world's love, a love that only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus has just lost his cousin John. But when he sees the need, he starts healing people. And for hours, Sister Tanya, 20,000 people, he's laying hands. He is rebuking devils. He is healing people. 20,000 people so caught up in what God was doing that they missed lunch, they missed dinner, and the sun had set. And Jesus is still healing people, still touching, hurting people. I am here to tell you on a Wednesday night in this altar, his compassion has moved him towards you today. Your tears are important to God. Jesus stands in front of you. Jesus stands all around you. If you're in this altar right now, I need you to lift your hands up. We're going to be done in just a few moments. But if you don't know Jesus today, we're going to introduce you to Jesus. If you don't know him as Savior, we're going to introduce you to him as Savior. We're going to help you make him Lord. This is a moment not like the disciples of that day, but the disciples...